What are the horses to follow? The forgetful runs. The stories. On Racing Pulse, bring on David Gately.
Gators post-mortem is presented by the Flemington Racing Spectacular. The grand finale is on this Saturday, the $3 million Group 1 TAB Australian Cup. Tickets are available now at Ticketmaster. Good morning, Gator. How was your Super Saturday?
Look, we could always have found more winners. Would have been nice, but look, it was fabulous racing, wasn't it? And you inject into Rose Hill a world-class racehorse in Dubai Honor, and hey presto, you add to that, you know, a super-fast Golden Flipper, a fast-run, brutal all-star mile, and what other sport would you want to be involved in?
Well, there were so many high-class performances over the weekend, those you mentioned. So who got the punter's vote? Who got David Gately's vote as the performance of the weekend?
Yeah, well, I abstained from voting in my own poll, basically because Twitter won't let me. But had I been allowed, I've had the chat to Elon as well. Like, we've had a chat. Had I voted, I think I would have gone for Dubai Honor. There was some spirited debate on Twitter last night. You know, Dave, my colleague on Sky One, was saying it had to be Dubai Honor. You're all fools if you don't vote. You know, and others were saying it was clearly Animo. He sat wide. Others raving about Shinzu and others. So that's the great thing. It's different opinions, and there's no wrong or right. I don't think ever in these things. It's what your opinion is, and I respect all views on it.
It was a pretty impressive performance by Dubai. So if you're Godolphin, the Animo camp, you're thinking, well, this is one of their second stringers, maybe, coming out here and doing this to the Ranvet. What are you thinking about your overseas European sojourn later in the year?
Well, I mean, the thing is, Animo doesn't get beaten too often. I mean, I guess, you know, look, there are a number of different ways to slice the races on Saturday because they contested separate races. The one that's probably the most obvious is the fact that Dubai Honor was able to absolutely put Malunga to the sword by 5.5 lengths. You know, that's the horse that Animo got by comfortably in his previous run, but certainly didn't do it by 5.5 lengths. Now, if it was that easy, we'd all be millionaires. The tab would be broke. We'd be living in chateaus in France. The other way to dissect it is on times. They've both run a sizzling last 600 off a moderate speed, but that's what good athletes do, right? And the third aspect is, you know, he's only reasonably recently been gelded, hasn't he, Dubai Honor? So that might be the making of him. It might be unfair to draw his earlier form when, you know, before the gelding operation. I often think you should look at the two athletes as separate entities. So, but, you know, as I say, I don't know everything, and I'm open to all views.
Yeah. Where did you rate that win by Animo on the weekend?
Oh, look, he was terrific. Obviously, if you're covering ground, look, I know the fence was off a bit, then it was back on later in the day. God, he'd be a punter. But he did a great job because, you know, I have a different view to some that I had a lot of merit when they're wide, no cover, because, you know, they win sometimes, but more often they don't, you know, irrespective of their starting price when they've had that sort of run. So I tend to clearly forgive them. You saw what Zapateo did. Okay, she was 5 and 6 wide first up, and everyone thought, a lot of people said she was disappointing. I think she's a forgive run. That's the real Zapateo on Saturday, admittedly down a bit in class. But that's only one example of a thousand. But he covered a lot of ground. He still beat them. I think the win had a lot of merit. I think, again, you could argue Fangirl was unlucky not to beat him. But, look, he just keeps winning, and, you know, she isn't.
Was that Mr. Brightside's best performance on Saturday? He's won a Doncaster, but that win in the All-Star Mile, how did that rate for you, Gator?
No, look, very highly, because it was a true test of endurance. You know, and given the speed that they ran and he joined in, I think he was vulnerable there for a pretty good one in Cascadian. who couldn't get by him. So he not only beat the on-pacers, you know, then he held off the swoopers in a fast run race. So a lot of merit to the win. Certainly plenty on the clock, as you'd expect. I mean, they're proper Group 1 horses. But I think it's his best win because the Doncaster was a great win. But he had 50 kilos, didn't he? So this being a weight for age, I think adds merit to the performance. You know, I think he's a better horse this season, and credit to that stable to keep him on that that upward trajectory. Not many can do it.
What do you make of Alligator Blood?
Look, he was there to win it, I think, because he was alongside the winner at the 250-metre mark, so I couldn't find an excuse. He certainly couldn't get control of the race, but he's run well when he hasn't had control as well. I mean, you look at his Stradbroke win when he was wide. It was a terrific win. So, I just thought, you know, he's only been a length, so he certainly wasn't bad. But, you know, I had higher expectations. I expected him to beat home Mr. Brightside, put it that way. And certainly I expected him to beat home the inevitable as well. So, he was a sound effort, but there was higher expectation.
How do you rate the Alistair Clark on Saturday? Do we have a little question mark next to it because of the way it was run? Or is it the best horse won the race?
Look, I think there's a few aspects to that race. There are a couple that were complete forgive runs who we were looking forward to seeing if they'd measure up, the likes of CR7. There was Amenable, who didn't seem to get around the valley at all to my eye. Once he straightened up, he zoomed home. Bankmer, you know, had the good run. Be sure to be good enough to win. I think if you're casting some aspersions on the race, and I am, it's the fact that Queen Air was able to run significantly faster time than Bankmer, the filly beating the older mares earlier in the day, on a track that you had to think was improving, given the warm weather. So, look, he's job done, good job, but a lot of forgive runs and time moderate has me nervous.
Hey, Gator, how strong do you think this year's Slipper is?
Very. They ran fast time, set up by a fast speed. Shinzu, everyone who's even been remotely involved with the horse tells me he's a three-year-old, so I don't think he's going to be one of those Slipper runners we never hear from again. I think he's got a really bright future. Cylinder did a great job. He was the one closest to that fierce speed and still ran second. King's Gambit, again, he melted in the yard. He's wide. He still hit the line. Still convinced he might end up the best talent, but you know, he's run enormous given those factors. And there were little gaps behind, but time was slick. Speed was good, well above Group 1 average for two-year-olds. Overall time about 5 lengths above.
There were a lot of hard luck stories, as there usually are in a Slipper, but how great the Melbourne form V, that Sydney form, is that you've clearly got the likes of Shinzu, Cylinder above that Blue Diamond form, because Don Corleone wasn't beaten too far, and, you know, to be fair, the other Blue Diamond form, there was a fair bit of unlucky interference in the event.
Yeah, that's right, and I think Don Corleone is the only one you can use as a guide for those reasons you've outlined, that the others were just no guide at all. Don's run well. I mean, the trifecta were better than him, but he beat a lot of other two-year-olds home, and he ran really well. So, you know, he matched King's Gambit's last 200 sectional at 11.80, so he kept finding the line. He was good. He just found a couple better, and, you know, he arguably should have won the Blue Diamond, but there are a number of connections saying that, including Steel City, who franked that form. Obviously, last week she didn't back up off a tough run. But Don's the one to line up the form. And what you've probably found is not much inferior, the Diamond, but 2 or 3 lengths.
How strong was the Rose Hill Guineas? Pericles looked like he had the race sewn up at the point of the turn, but, geez, Lindemann just kept on fighting.
Yeah, there was you couldn't have put enough on Pericles, could you? I mean, Lindemann was beautifully rated in front, set a moderate speed by Group 1 standard and about 5 lengths below. But then ups the ante, left the rail, which is a good plan early in the day. Pericles probably got ahead in front. You look at the chopper shot, he seemed to get a half head or so in front. But Lindemann just refused to lose. gap back to third. Time, not great by Group 1 standard, but we know they're good quality three-year-olds against their own age bracket. What's happening when these good three-year-olds take on the Animos of this world? They're all being beaten, but they're not being beaten far. You know, Communist and Ozopenko beaten 1 and 1.3 lengths, respectively, by Animo. Golden Mile was beaten a length by Artorias 2 weeks earlier. So they're not miles off. They're about a length off.
Where do you see the sprinting ranks in the Galaxy compared to those that are going to be competing in the TJ Smith?
Well, the Galaxy's a handicap, so that makes it a little different sort of kettle of fish. But not only was it a handicap, or it is a handicap, but it was a messy handicap. You know, Maria Mia, she had bright run, but she ran fast times. It's hard to bag her. But, gee, there were a string of hard luck stories. There's probably 7 horses out of that race. They're going to make the forgive file, and some of them will argue strongly they should have won. So not sure what to make of the race, except that they ran the time. So that's where it's hard to pot the winner.
A couple of quick SMSs just to wrap things up, Gator. You touched on Queen Air. How good do you think she could be?
Oh, look, I think she's genuinely exciting. Given she was 14 to 2,000 metres third up, she had a gap between runs. She still wanted to over-race for the first sort of 700, 800 of the event and still raced away and ran the time. I think she's come back a much better filly than the one that was right on their heels in the Oaks. And she's one I'm very interested to see when she gets to Sydney. She's got to iron out those early, those little issues, you know, because you can't afford to be doing things wrong when you get to the Olympics, you know, in the elite level.
And last one, Munamek's improvement. How many more wins has Munamek got left? And can he... They're talking possibly a throw at the stumps at a Doncaster Prelude. Do you think that would be out of the realms?
Look, the Doncaster being a handicap puts him in the conversation. You know, he's running good times, and he, you know, as I say, he gets him in the lightweight. So he hasn't put in a bad run yet. So it is hard to put a ceiling on him. He's deep in the prep, sure, but he keeps racing so well. He's hard to bag.
Gator, always great to get your Monday morning post-mortem, and on Thursday we'll look ahead to another stellar weekend of racing, of course, featuring the Australian Cup.
That we will. Can't wait, mate.
David Gately joining us there. Quick break for the news on the other side of this. Mickey D will join me live here. He's one of the best golfers amongst the jockeys, I'm told. We'll find out how good he is, and we'll get his review of Slipper Day, where he was riding on Saturday. All that's still to come. Live from Woodlands, there's plenty more racing celebrities that we'll get on over the next little bit as well.